Taharas Parachas Mishnates, Zechen Ishmas Yitzchak ben Mordechai Meir, Makel Shehimalei Amashkin Tameim, a stick which is full of Tamei liquid, meaning the entire surface of the stick is completely saturated with Tamei liquid, so it's a soaking wet stick. Well, Kivon Shehishika LaMikvah, as soon as he connects it to the mikvah, that is, he sticks one end of the stick into the mikvah, and the whole stick isn't even yet fully immersed under the surface, Tahar, Tahora. The whole thing is tahar. The water on the stick does not affect food, no matter what it touches. So if it's sticking out of the mikvah and it accidentally touches somebody's lunch, the liquid that's on the stick is no longer tameh because it's connected to the mikvah. Divrei Rabbi Yehoshua. This is Rabbi Yehoshua says, having to do with the concept of connectivity, gorachis, gorasik, the idea that water above is connected with water below and that water flowing, there's a connection. So we say that it's connected to the mikvah, so all the liquid on the stick is instantaneously transformed into natame. That's Rabbi Yehoshua. V'chachamim omrim atshiyat bilas kula. V'chachamim say no. The water on the stick stays tame until the entire stick is immersed in the mikvah. The slanting is not a connection, even though the liquid on the stick and the liquid on the water are coming into contact at a lower part of the stick, that's not good enough till it's completely immersed. Hanitzok, an uninterrupted flow of liquid that's pouring from one keli into another. So somebody has a water pitcher and he's pouring down into a cup. So if it's uninterrupted or a slanted surface, the hakitar kitaf race, water flowing down a slanted surface. So he's not in the middle of pouring from a pitcher. There's a slanted little water slide or one of those chocolate fountains or something, and it's coming down, flowing from that. Or umashke tofeach, dripping liquid, a spot which is wet enough that if you touched it, it would moisten the hand, but nothing else. Einon chibur lo latuma velo tahara. This is not considered a chibur, a connection, for tuma or for tahara. So the upper part of anything tame that is touching the lower part of an uninterrupted flow of water or slanted or dripping, that water that is flowing is still tahar. It is not rendered tame by the fact that this tame stick, for example, is touching it. Also dripping liquid. If you have two slightly moist spots adjoining a wet spot, and somebody tell me touch the wet spot, the moist spots are still pure. They are considered this dripping liquid. They're still tahar, as we've been saying. But for tahara also, if somebody who's tameh goes into a mikvah less than 40 saw, which is connected to another mikvah, which has the right amount, and there's an uninterrupted flow of water flowing down on a slanting surface, or it's pouring over, or a wet spot, he would not be tahar either, because that chibur is not a chibur even for tahara. So it doesn't work to make something new tameh, but it also doesn't work to make you tahar, unless it has the right amount in it. The ha'esh boren, as for a cavity or a hole with water gathered in it, this would be chibur l'tuma v'l'tahara. This is a chibur, a connection when it comes for tuma and tahara, that if some of the water in the puddle becomes tame, all of it becomes tame. If some of it's connected to a mikvah, all of it becomes tahar. So if it's standing water in a bar, in a cavity, in a hole, then that would be different from the flowing water, which is on the move, which is a different situation. Paraktes, Mishnah Aleph, Paraktes is going to deal by talking about items like food for humans. Human being food designated for human beings to eat, cannot become tameh unless it's been hechshered l'tuma, unless it was preconditioned to be mekabel tuma, moistened by one of the seven liquids, which are water, dew, wine, milk, blood, oil, and honey. If any of those touch the food is machshir l'tuma, and if something tame touches it, it makes the food tame. But that is only true if the person, the owner, wanted the food to be moistened by these liquids. So that comes from the specific wording of a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, which talks about water being put on a seed. The word says yitain, but it's pronounced yutan, and the Chachamim learned from that the yutan, the passive moistening, has to have been happened as if it was yitain, that the person wanted to do it. So our Mishnah Aleph, is going to talk about olives. When you bring them to the press, at one point in the squeezing, the pressing, the process of working with the olives, do they become hechsher l'tumah and mekabel tumah? Zeisem me'emasai mekabel tumah. At what point do olives become mekabel tumah based on the olive oil that is coming out of the olives? So the answer is mishayaziu zeas hamaaton. When they start emitting moisture in the vat, you pack up olives in the vat, you heap them and pile them up, and that way they'll warm up and they'll soften, and it'll make it easier to press them and get the oil out of them. So when the moisture is dripping in the vat while they're piled up, that makes them hechsher l'tumah, that makes them a kabel tumah. But not the moisture in the basket where you put when you pick them. It's only in the vat when you pile them all up, not in the basket where you take some at a time. And this is according to the view of Beis Shammai, because in the vat, you want them to get wet and softer and easier to be able to press. But in the basket, where the olive oil drips through the holes in the basket and you lose it completely, that's undesirable to the owner. So it's got to be moisture that he wanted, which is the moisture in the vat where he's going to collect all the profit, not moisture that is completely lost. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shir Zeyar Shlosha Yamin. Now Rabbi Shimon comments, only if the vat has had the olives in it for 3 days can their moisture be machshir them. So the standard for moisture being extruded by the olives is 3 days, before which it's not considered liquid at all yet. It's kind of olive pulp, and so it wouldn't count. And Beis Hillel Omrim, Mishe Yischabru Shlosha Zelazah, from when the olives have softened enough to be connected to one another, that's when their moisture makes them susceptible. So there's some discussion about which comes first, but presumably that would come before 3 days. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Mishe Tigomer Melachton. Rabban Gamliel adds another opinion. Once the work has been completed, once you've piled all the olives in the vat, and you haven't there's no more to add, that's when their moisture would make them hechsher l'tumah. But as long as he keeps on planning to add more olives, you don't want moisture yet because you want them all to be soft, not for the bottom to be soft and the top to still be hard. And so as a result, he's also worried the olives will get too soft and mushy, and then you'll have problems trying to press the oil out. So according to Rabban Gamliel, it's a little bit longer. But Chamim Omrim Kedvarav, and the Chamim endorsed Rabban Gamliel's point of view, and the halacha follows that point of view. Once he's gotten to the point where you've added all the olives to the vat, that is when we say we have hechsher l'tumah for olives.